Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride's here, too, because if she weren't, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Jim, hello.
It's good to have you back, as always.
You.
You know, Joan, as you know, from time to time, I as part of the, especially the opening of the show, I do these little on this day thing. You know, like today's the day that the Justice Department was founded in 1870, and today's
right.
the day in 1944 that the GI Bill of Rights was enacted, and that sort of thing. But today I've decided that these things are all put together and written and laid out by women.
All these
on this day things. Well, here's why. Remember a few months ago, I said this is she's just funny that way day.
Yeah.
Remember that? And that's the way that one was written. She's just funny that way. You know, talking about how women are as women are, and it's she's just funny that way day. Well, today, according to this report that I have in front of me, it's stupid guy thing day. Okay, have your fun. Enjoy it.
Well, it
stupid guy.
I don't have a problem with that. Do you?
I hear you. No, I'm not
redundant, but it's okay.
You're saying part of it's not necessary?
Part of it. I won't say which part. The women in the audience will know what I mean.
But why is it a she's just funny that way day, but then it's a stupid guy thing day?
Well, if I have to explain it to you, then there's just
But you no see point. Why I'm convinced that women are writing these things now, right? But that's all I'm going to say, Joan. That's all I have to say about
that. I think
that's
wise. I would get out of this one.
Okay, Joan, leading story is healthcare.
Right.
This week, as you know, I was in Washington with the NFIB and interviewing a number of their members, of their peeps, award-winning small business owners. And as my audience who listened, those who were listening to those interviews will remember, many of them talked about the challenges that they have in finding health care and being able to afford the health care that they find for their employees. But every one of them were committed to providing health care for their employees.
Well, that's good to hear. As an employee myself.
Exactly. But is there any good news out there, Joan?
Well, yeah, and I think this is probably the first time we've had a page of pretty good news on healthcare in a while. We say that cost cutting that employers are doing is starting to work, and it's starting to show up in the numbers.
Yeah. Well, and how do you have any? What do you think? Why do you think that is? What's the other reasons?
Why?
Why are the numbers coming down? Why are they getting better?
Why are they coming down?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the cost cutting is working, but I can tell you what some of those are.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. And the other point that I should say that we're making is if you started to do this and you're seeing results, you can't let up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we say that keeping up momentum on this is going to be difficult. But, you know, and some of this is just very tried and true. You have to really ramp up preventative care and education.
Yep.
Because if you can stop diseases or conditions such as diabetes, for example, before they start, that would reap, you know, huge dividends.
A lot of people are causing themselves to get diabetes over you know, as they get older by being overweight, by the way.
Right.
They, by their,
and
their
making the wrong
habits.
Food choices and
exactly.
not exercising and things like that.
You know, Joan, I want to speak to that again in just a minute, but before we go there, another thing that came up this week that was very evident to me, this came up several times in talking to the small business owners that I met this week, they're using health savings accounts, HSAs, more and more as an alternative to like a group health plan. And what that's doing is doing two things. Number one, it's helping to educate. You mentioned education. It's helping to educate their employees about who really pays for the health care. And it's helping to educate their employees into becoming health care consumers, not just patients.
It's kind of a twofer in a sense.
Yeah. And it's saving money. And it's it's holding costs down.
Right.
See? Because small business owners are just begging for some kind of a respite, some kind of a reprieve from all these increased. Joan, I talked to one person this week who last year his health insurance premiums went up something like 70-something to 80-something percent.
That's they almost doubled that
in a
that's
year.
Unbelievable.
In a year,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah. And then I talked to others who said the way that they are holding this down is they're incorporating HSAs into their plans. And as you may know, Joan, the companies who are providing HSAs are now really getting it. It seems to me they're really getting it in terms of how to price an HSA. If you remember,
well, I guess it's taken some time to work that through the system.
Well, yeah. See, when I bought an HSA 2 or 3 years ago, the first time, our premiums were way too high. But I was convinced it was because the companies didn't know how to price it because they didn't know about the experience. They were brand new, pretty much.
Right. Right.
But we looked around a little bit, and we've literally cut our premiums by 3/4.
Wow.
I mean, by a fourth. We're down to about a fourth of what it was, say, or at least a third, say, it was of where it was, say, 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. And so we're an example of people who have been able to hold down health care costs because of taking advantage of these HSAs.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And you know, as you know, with unemployment as low as it continues to be, just dropping health insurance, even though that's always an option, you don't really want to do that just because you become so much less competitive with other companies in your sector.
Well, and you know, Joan, it's also a retirement. HSAs are a retirement instrument.
No, that's true.
Because, see, HSAs are the money that you put aside that's part of the HSA component, the savings that you put aside, you get to keep that. And it's, what do they call it? The triple tax benefit. I think you were using that term this week, Joan. Not only do you not pay taxes on the money that you put into it, you don't pay taxes on the money when you use it, and you can give it to your children. You can bequeath it to your children.
It can be inherited. Wow.
Tax-free. So HSAs, folks, very important thing to look into. I hope you'll do that. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other companies that are doing some things to hold their costs down, larger companies who have got some pretty good experience in holding their healthcare costs down, I should say. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. One more thing. Bit of the Stones for you there. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, we're talking about how the healthcare actually is seems to be, the increases or seem to be abating, and it's for a lot of different reasons. One of the things you guys report on is that the ratcheting up, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, of preventative care and education is helping. And tell us about some of these numbers, savings opportunities that you guys report here.
Well, yeah. When we say that, we say every dollar spent on preventative care and education saves nearly $3.50 in health care. And there's another benefit, too, because we estimate it saves about $5.80 in absenteeism. So just that $1, look at the bang for the buck you get. That's
10 to
amazing.
One.
That's amazing.
You add those two, the health savings and the absenteeism, those two note together, it's almost $10 for every dollar that's invested.
Yeah.
You know, Joan, many of my audience will remember that from time to time, there's the Principal Financial Group out of Iowa has been on the show. Some of their folks have been on the show. Renee Schaff has brought with her companies that they've identified. They call them the 10 best. And in fact, one time it was even one of their competitors that they recognized, believe it or not.
Wow.
Believe it or not. And these are companies that that have exemplified, they've sort of distinguished themselves, I should say, in doing what you're talking about here, preventative care, education, and that kind of thing. And what they've done is they've actually been able to lower their costs year over year, or at least in some cases, some of the people I remember, when everybody else was experiencing, you know, double digits, 14, 15% increases, they were having 2 and 3% increases.
Yeah, even that's not bad.
No, not at all. And what they said was, examples would be where they took out the smoking room and put in an exercise room.
Ah.
They encouraged and compensated their employees who stopped smoking.
Right.
And helped them do that. They encouraged them, as you said earlier, you mentioned earlier about making better food choices. They started, you know, providing healthier meals in the cafeterias and things like that.
Right.
And some of these companies, Joan, have been working on this for 30 years.
Gee.
They literally have been working on this for a long time, and they've got measured success results.
Right. Well, and that's one thing we've been telling your listeners for quite a while now, is that you implement a lot of this stuff, and you may not see savings overnight. It may take several years for you to really see a big difference in your premiums. So that's why you got to start as soon as possible.
Well, this individual health risk assessment thing, Joan, that's a very interesting thing. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Well, that's, you know, you got, this is just something that you guys talk about this week, where you talk about healthcare professionals evaluate the health of each insured person and recommend an appropriate program for health management.
I see.
And I mean, to me, I don't know what that costs, but it would seem to me that we're all walking around with our exposures, right?
Right.
Blood pressure, maybe some inherited traits or whatever. Maybe we're overweight. We've got some lifestyle issues we have to deal with. If there was a dispassionate person sitting in front of us, a professional saying, okay, you know, here's what's going on, and here's what you can do to fix it. If we had better education, if we had more information, more evidence in front of us of what we're getting ourselves into and how we could fix it. And I think, Joan, they can actually, many times, they can actually convert the changes that you could make into how many more years you'll live.
Gee.
You hit
that's
people
amazing.
Between the eyes with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's motivating.
You would think we would think it would be.
Yeah.
And Joan, you know, it would seem to me that this would be a good political topic. I mean, think about it, Joan. We got what, 76 to 80 billion, I mean a million baby boomers. That are, of which I'm a little behind the leading edge, and you're right on the trailing edge of the boomers. We got a lot of folks that are heading off into retirement pretty soon. They're getting
That's
to the
true.
Age, even if they're not retiring, they're getting to the age where, you know, where health is becoming more of an issue, health challenges are becoming more of an issue. What if there were a national campaign? It would seem to me that this would actually be a good thing for the government to get involved, a national campaign to get everybody assessed for their health risks. What do you think?
Boy, that I think that would be huge.
I mean, looks like that would be a good political campaign.
Sure.
If I were running for president, that would be one of the things I'd be talking about.
Boy, if you were running for president.
What do you think, Joan?
I don't know.
Huh?
I take the fifth on that one.
I'm going to need a good campaign. I'm going to need a good campaign manager, Joan.
You wouldn't be campaigning on the minimum wage ticket now.
I would not be campaigning on the minimum wage ticket. No, that wouldn't be part of mine. I would be running on the Small Business Party, by the way, Joan.
You'd start the Small Business Party. Okay.
I've already I did that 9 years ago, Joan. I've been a member of the Small Business Party for 9 years now. Actually, longer than that, but officially for 9 years.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm thinking about having a convention and nominating myself. What do you think? Will you come?
Would there be other people there?
I hope so. Would you come?
Of course.
Would you come to my convention? Well, that's going to be my, you're right. No minimum wage increases, but health care screening for everybody.
There you go. That's a platform.
And two chickens in every pot. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the economy. We're going to talk about some news in the financial services industry and taxes. And Joan is an expert in that area. Right after these messages, 29 after. Stay with us.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third straight year.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blassingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget to check out the blog and all the other things that are there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, let's move over and talk about the economy. We just got through having a good visit with Bill Dunkelberg, chief economist, your friend and mine, Bill Dunkelberg, the chief economist for the NFIB. I know you use his wisdom and his expertise quite a bit in reporting for Kiplinger.
Definitely.
You guys report that May inflation figures make another interest rate hike a sure bet.
Now, do you agree with that or what?
I reluctantly can't argue with it.
Yeah.
And I will tell you this.
Well, that was a convoluted way of saying yes.
Well, the reason, but see, you got to have to understand, I've got a conflict of interest here.
Well, I'm not asking whether you like it. I'm just asking whether you agree this is what's going to happen.
I can't argue with it because my conflict of interest, though, as you know, Joan, is they're sitting right now on the number that I predicted they would max out on this year.
Oh.
See, I predicted they would raise it three times to 5% Fed funds rate.
Well, it takes a big man to admit he's wrong.
Well, and at the end of the year, I always do. I go back and review it, and I report on how I did. In talking to Bill Dunkelberg, by the way, folks, when some of those of you who are listening to him, I actually forgot to ask him on the air because we're going to do our Fed report next week, but a Fed Watch show next week, but. I asked him off the air if he thought they were going to raise rates, and he said absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not in his mind. It's not a and he is probably as close to a Fed insider as we've got these days in the brain trust. He knows all of them. He plays Rook with Mr. Greenspan and Canasta with Bernanke. So
wow.
So he knows those guys, but he says it's pretty sure bet that they will. And so, Joan, we've got all this inflation, a lot of which is caused by petroleum, right?
True.
A lot of which is caused by pricing power that small business owners have because they needed it. They needed it to increase their profits.
Which is a good thing.
Exactly. That's a good thing to recover from some of the years when we didn't have the pricing power. But all that creates inflation. All that's inflationary, as are the circumstances around the hiring of employees.
Right.
Almost everybody I talk to these days, small business owners, tell me they can't find enough of the right kind of people to work.
That's what I hear too.
And that fact, Joan, causes wages to go up, upward pressure on wages.
Sure.
Which is inflationary. Which means that more and more employers are paying their employees more money and maybe even premium prices to work, including entry level people, which makes what the debate that's going on in Congress these days about raising minimum wage folly.
Oh, in other words, that wages are rising naturally on their own.
Just as the marketplace will do.
I knew you were going to get back to minimum wage.
Without any help,
what happened?
Without any help from Congress, wages, people are going to be fine on wages. They don't need the Congress to set prices. And Joan, you know, if members of Congress wonder why their polling numbers are so low, they might want to get it in their head is because we've decided that they don't know what the heck they're doing.
Well, I think they've proved, Democrats and Republicans have
both
proven
sides.
That.
Both
many
sides.
Times this year.
I'm an equal opportunity. I have an equal opportunity finger to stick in the eye of anybody who hurts small business owners. And you're exactly right, Joan. The Republicans seem to be as much a perpetrator of the minimum wage scare, the minimum wage increase discussion, as the Democrats are. Maybe even a little bit more. And I just don't understand that.
What surprises me about the Republicans is I would have expected them to just stand on principle, because I thought they used to be good about doing that. And, you know, come what may, you know, stick to their core principles, which is what has gotten them elected in the past.
That's a scarce commodity these days in Washington, D.C., Joan.
Yeah,
on any issue. Look at what the Democrats are doing in the Senate right now, debating, shooting themselves in their party in the foot by debating what to do about Iraq.
Right. Well, and of course, the Democrats have had this problem of not knowing what they stand for, and they need to try to figure that out. But
exactly.
I thought the Republicans knew, and they seem to be running away from that.
Joan, I just think that there's just such a dearth of leadership in Washington. In Congress right now. It's just, and they're not all like that now. There, Senator Enzi is, I met him this week. There are leaders up there, but they're few and far between, it seems to
right.
me. 20 Tail, we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. And their website at Kiplinger, folks, is kiplinger.com. KIPLINGER.com. And you can subscribe to their newsletter, to their letters there, I should say. Their publication is the Kiplinger Letter, the weekly publication that Joan and I work out of. Also, the three biweekly letters, the California, the tax, and the agriculture letters. And they've got a magazine, Joan.
They sure do. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
They? You mean we? I think.
Well, I think of them as, you know, we're all one big family.
It's another
here,
side of the house, though,
you've got
isn't
the
it?
Magazine staff and the letter staff. But you're right, we're all one big company.
Those guys, and of course.
Excuse me, we're all one small company here.
One small company. That's right. You are a small company, a family-owned business. And the magazine's available at newsstands, folks, but you can subscribe to them from their website, but their website is worth going to even if you're not subscribing, and I encourage you to check it out.
Right.
Joan, while we're still in the economy.
And, I'd love to tell them the toll-free number. Too.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Say it again.
800-544-0155.
All right. And ask them for that 30-day free trial when you make that phone call. Joan, while we're still in the economy, let's talk about this handy-dandy little table you guys put on the first page called Energy Forecasts. This is pretty interesting stuff here, and I think I like what you're saying about crude oil.
But the direction on most of this is not bad. We're saying crude oil currently is almost hitting $70 a barrel, but we say after the summer, by the end of September, it will be down to 63. Now,
from your mouth to God's ears, right?
A year to a year and a half ago, I don't think I would have been happy about 63, but at this point, I'd be thrilled.
But I like your January prediction.
Oh, yeah, $55 a barrel.
See, now we're getting down to maybe like $2 a gallon
high
gas.
High enough that oil companies can make a profit, but low enough that we're not, you know, seeing $3 a gallon gas. Although, interestingly enough, in my area where gas has been, you know, some of the highest prices in the nation, it's just a hair below $3 now.
Well, I just saw something yesterday that gas, I haven't bought gas in a week or so, but I just saw that it was down around $2.56 or something like that.
Okay, well, we're still about 290 something, but it's a heck of a lot better than 325.
Well, and I've seen this in other places, though, that the gas, when I was traveling, I saw the gas prices getting on down closer to 250. So that's good news. And 55, yeah. As you say, it feels a little sick to say we're happy to see $55 a barrel gas oil, but actually that would be good news. Natural gas is going up, and that's because of why, Joan? Just the demand or what, do you know?
Well, there's been a glut recently. There's been actually too much around because of the warmer than expected winter in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So I think production's probably going to be ratcheted back. So my guess, without being an expert on this, is that that's what's, you know, it's going to be a supply-demand thing again.
But electricity is not going to be making a big increase.
Yeah, just a
tiny
hair
increase.
Higher.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that, you know, per kilowatt hour, going from 9.9 cents to 10 cents is not a big jump.
Well, if we can get energy, petroleum coming down a little bit and staying there, kind of staying,
yeah.
That was one of the things Bill Dunkelberg was saying, Joan, that oil prices being high is not inflationary. Oil prices continuing to rise is what contributes to the inflation.
Oh, I see.
In other words, if it goes up and it stays there, we can absorb that. We can get that absorbed into the equation, so to speak.
Yeah.
So we need it to be coming down and staying there. That's what we need. And maybe we can get this inflation thing whipped back into shape. Joan, let's talk about the taxes issue that you guys report on this week. What's the news there?
Well, which one would you like to talk about?
Let's talk about the cars.
Okay. Well, as you know, starting January 1st, there was a new tax credit, a very generous one for anyone buying a so-called hybrid vehicle, which is, you know, gas and electric-powered, both. And there's a lot of good models out there right now. But there's kind of a quirky, crazy part of the law that says once an automaker has sold 60,000 of these things, and that's across the models, all the different models, then the credit starts to phase out for buyers who buy cars after that point. And the important news here is that Toyota hit its 60,000th vehicle in the second quarter, which means under this law, I think you have to go two quarters. So starting October 1st, the credit will get smaller and smaller for people who buy after that point.
Can you explain
that? It's just
that
something to keep in mind if you really want a hybrid vehicle.
Can you explain that to me? Why, if this is a good thing, why are they putting a limit on it, Joan?
Well, and in fact, the Toyota folks said to me, and they made a good point, you know, apparently Toyota is known as, I guess, having the most fuel-efficient vehicle, which is why people are running to buy it.
Right.
The credit is going to start phasing out for Toyota, but not for the other makers of hybrids.
So Toyota is being penalized for being so effective
and efficient. In a sense, it sort of looks that way.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, but who passed the law?
Another reason to not have confidence in Congress.
There you go.
Joan. See, that was just like when they passed the medical savings accounts, the precursor to the HSAs, the MSAs.
Right. Didn't quite do it right, did they?
Ted Kennedy demanded that they put a restriction on how many we could have.
Right.
Well, I mean, how stupid is that?
And that program never got off the ground. Meanwhile, HSAs don't have a restriction on their numbers, if you know.
And the numbers are going through the roof.
Right.
All right, what's the next thing about tax? The estate tax repeal.
Well, Congress is going to come tantalizingly close to a compromise that would eliminate the estate tax permanently for all but the biggest estates. It would help a lot of small business owners. The House is going to pass this compromise bill probably today. The Senate is going to try to pass it next week. They're very close to having enough votes, but our forecast is they probably won't quite make it.
It'll probably wind up being some kind of a compromise. It won't be a full repeal.
But even that won't get through the Senate.
Even that, huh?
Even that.
Well, you're just full of good news today, aren't you, Joan?
Sorry.
Quick break, right back with Joan Pride after these messages. Here's Chicago to take us out. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Joan Pride is our guest, and we're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, on page 3, you guys talk about some of the security elements of the technology that we wander around with. As you know, Joan, there have been some recent, a couple of times where laptops were taken home by employees. One, the most recent, most notable, I guess, recently was the Veterans Department, the Veterans Affairs.
Right.
It's been a big
local story, too, because it's happened with District of Columbia employees having their laptops stolen with sensitive, like, employee social security number and other information.
Well, and they identified on that Veterans Affairs laptop, Joan. It's a good chance that my name would have been on that because the years that they identified that those records were for I was wearing the uniform in those days.
Wow.
So so it's possible that I could have, my identity could have been breached.
Right.
Because my Social Security number hasn't changed since then.
Of course not.
So so it's possible that that could have happened to me. And the idea here, folks, and this is what Kiplinger reports on, is that, is Joan, telecommuting is a very handy way to manage employees these days. In fact, I recommend it to companies. I tell them, I encourage them to use telecommuting as a way to keep good people who need to change their work hours, to allow people to be more productive, et cetera, et cetera. But we've got to take extra precautionary steps on the security of our information.
Well, no question about that. And the last thing a company needs is to have an employee with sensitive data and at home and then have the laptop stolen.
Well, the other thing is you got to have training. I mean,
right.
if people are taking their computers home, you need to be doing some training to explain to them, you know, make sure they know what they have.
Right.
Make sure they understand how it could be valuable to competitors or to criminals. And Joan, cyber crime is a multi-billion dollar, I'm talking $50-60 billion industry in 2005.
I believe it.
It is. And it's not just little hackers anymore causing trouble. These are people who... And cybercrime includes finding out somebody's got a laptop with a bunch of information and breaking in and stealing it.
Sure.
You know, it's not just about stealing it over the airwaves.
Right.
Which is something else, Joan, to think about. I mean, you've got to be even, you know, and folks, you might say, well, you know what? I don't have that much stuff that anybody would want. But there are people out there, Joan, who are trying to hack into your computer to make it a zombie from which to launch an assault on somebody else.
Exactly.
I mean, there are people, Joan, who've had, you know, they get a knock at the door and they go to the door and they see FBI, and they say your computer launched an attack on the army or the Pentagon or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's because they went in and made your computer a zombie, without you knowing about it. They came in over the internet.
Gee.
So there are security measures, though, that you can take, folks, to prevent that. Another thing, Joan, that you guys point out is the biometrics thing for securing your laptops.
Right. If your employees use biometric IDs, then no one else is going to be able to sign on to those laptops, even if they're stolen. So mm-hmm. that information should be preserved then.
The new laptops, many of the new laptops have a little thumb thing.
Right.
Or finger thing that you can, you know, run your finger over, and it's a biomed where it actually identifies you. As you know, you can't use it with gloves on, but if you take your gloves off, you can log in and nobody else can.
Right, exactly.
And so that's a good thing. So those are some of the things that you can do, and these are just some things to think about, folks. Joan, another thing real quickly, just below this technology thing is vlogs. People are going to be able to get ads over video over their iPods and their cell phones and that sort of thing. That's coming in the future, isn't it?
Just remember, you can never escape advertising, no matter where you go.
That's exactly right. There's always going to be an opportunity for people to bombard you with a print ad or something. Hey, Joan, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim.
Good job today, as always, and we will see you next time.
I will be back next week.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back, I promise. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.